The list of things for which your new bishop is grateful has grown exponentially in the last 7 or 8 months. Coming to a new home in Wichita and the Diocese of Wichita and being surrounded by so many wonderful people has given me hundreds of thousands of more things and experiences and gifts that I thank God for every day. I want to begin by expressing thanks to God for each of you, and to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here, for being members of Christ the King Parish, for forming this community of faith as a family, and for offering to that gift, that family, your gifts of time, talent, and treasure. I want to thank your pastor, Father Matthew, for his generous service to you and to our diocese. So I am truly grateful to God for Father and for each of you who formed this community of faith called Christ the King. And I'm thankful to you for your prayers, your warm welcome, and your support during these first months and this first year of my service as your new bishop. I beg you, keep those prayers coming, because I surely need them. Over the last summer, I came up with the idea, if you will, of visiting all the parishes of our diocese for pastoral visits, to have the time of an entire weekend to spend with each parish in our diocese. You may know that there are 90 parishes in the Diocese of Wichita, and so it will take me a bit of time to go to each of them and to have the time that we're having this weekend to spend together. So I'm just sort of at the beginning, but we're making steady progress, and I am indeed delighted to be with you this weekend. The reason for a pastoral visit, some may think, well, the bishop comes only when he confirms, or when he has some difficult news, or when he wants money. I'm not here for that. I'm here to pray together. I'm not here to check up on you, check up on your pastor, or anything like that. I'm here to get to know you and for you to have this time to get to know me as much as possible in the next couple of days. It's important that a bishop learns all about his diocese from the inside out. And so coming to our parish families, our parish communities, and being with them in the course of a weekend gives me a glimpse, if you will, even if it's just for a short time, of what the parish life is like. And to hear back from you your blessings and your challenges and your hopes and desires as we together continue on the path that God has put us on, this pilgrimage together, heading toward the kingdom of heaven. And I have this great desire to know as much about you as I possibly can know. And I want to share as much about me as I can with you. This third Sunday of Advent is called in the church Gaudete Sunday. Some of you may have studied some Latin in your educational career. The word Gaudete comes from the Latin word to rejoice. The great Advent prophet Isaiah proclaimed these words, which we heard in the first reading for our Mass this evening. I rejoice heartily in the Lord. In my God is the joy of my soul. You'll notice Isaiah didn't say, I rejoice in myself, or I rejoice in my wealth, I rejoice in my good health. No, I rejoice heartily in the Lord. In my God is the joy of my soul. And these are important things for us to ponder. For true joy comes from a right relationship with God. St. Paul's words were simple and but succinct in his first letter to the Thessalonians. He said, "Rejoice always. Rejoice always." He didn't say, "Rejoice when the good times come and not when the bad times come." He didn't say, "Rejoice when you're healthy but not when you're sick, or when you're wealthy and not when you're poor." No. Rejoice always. In every circumstance, rejoice. And that's a great challenge, because we know that life isn't always good times. We know that not everyone is healthy and not everyone is wealthy, that there are great challenges that present themselves to us. But we hear St. Paul's words and Isaiah's, "Rejoice always in the Lord, for in God is the joy of our soul." Joy is a virtue. It's a strength. It's not just a feeling. It's a quality of life that allows us to live in such a way that comes from God's strength and not from within our own selves. That virtue, that strength is tragically and sadly missing in so many people's lives today. A joy rooted not in the money we have in our wallets, not in our investments, not in the homes we live, not in any of our possessions, not in our pleasure or our power, but rooted in the Lord. If we study the great saints of the church, we will almost always come to the conclusion that they were men and women of joy, even though their lives were often marked by intense suffering, by poverty, by penance, and in some cases imprisonment and persecution. But their joy was deeply rooted in God. And so must ours be. Why does God want us to be joyful, to have this virtue and this strength? Not because he wants us to be giddy all the time like little children at Christmas morning. That's not even joy. That's an earthly happiness that comes and goes rather quickly, doesn't it? But a joy endures. A joy lasts. And he wants us to have this joy because it attracts others to us, but not to us ourselves, but to that quality of life that God has given us, and therefore to God himself. Joy rooted in God is appealing. Indeed, it's magnetic and contagious. When we ever encounter a person of deep Christian and godly joy, we can't help but be drawn to them and to that virtue which we desire for ourselves. It's something we deeply want when we see others have it and possess it, as we would be inspired then to imitate their life so that we can also be joyful as they are. This is the evangelical purpose of joy. We talk a lot these days about the new evangelization, the new proclamation of the gospel that Pope Benedict, Pope John Paul II, Saint Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict, and now Pope Francis have spoken prophetically and at great length about the time of the new evangelization. And the greatest tool we have for the new evangelization is a joy rooted in God, rooted in the Lord, and not in anything fleeting or passing away. Pope Francis, in his first apostolic letter to the church, itself called the joy of the gospel, which I would encourage all of us to get a copy and to read if we have not done so already. In the very first line of that apostolic exhortation says this: the joy of the gospel fills the hearts and lives of all who encounter Jesus. Those who accept his offer of salvation are free from sin, sorrow, inner emptiness, and loneliness. This tells us how we will receive gospel-rooted joy: by encountering Jesus. And that's what's supposed to happen whenever we pray, whenever we avail ourselves to God's presence. We are imbued then, at least with the possibility of being full of joy. That's what's supposed to happen when we encounter Jesus here at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We should feel deeply in our souls and our hearts a deep sense of this joyful presence, knowing that we are soon, very, very soon, going to receive him in Holy Communion. What a gift, my brothers and sisters, to be able to approach the living God in a few short moments and to receive him in all his power and omnipotence, in all his love, to receive him as weak and as sinful as we are, that God wants to give himself to us. This is the encounter with Jesus that will bring us joy. Or whenever we make a good confession, and friends, if you haven't made a good confession in a long time, do so soon. Be freed from your sins. Don't be afraid. Come. Tell God through the intercession, through the power and the ministry of the priest, tell God what's on your heart and soul. Be freed from that and feel the mercy of Jesus wash over you and fill you with joy. That's the encounter that will give us the joy of which Pope Francis speaks of. That's my prayer. It's my great hope for you, for me, and for the whole church. Gaudete Sunday, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. In God is the joy of our souls. May our encounter with Christ this evening at this Mass give us joy, the joy our hearts desire, the joy that will serve us for this upcoming week as a contagious, magnetic presence within us, so that others will see in us the same joy that their hearts desire. Rejoice always. Rejoice, I say again, in the Lord.